Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Wizards of Ecom. This is your host, Naomi, and today I'm joined yet again by Gabriel Caceros, a second timer on the show. He is an Amazon advertising expert at Better AMS. Gabriel, welcome back.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me, Noemi. And we had a lot of fun on the first episode. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this episode will be very similar.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's do the best out of it. As I was saying, like behind the scenes to Gabriel, I didn't have my coffee today, so beware. Hopefully that won't show up.
I'll keep you awake.
Brilliant. And the reason why I'm having you today on the show is none other than Q4. We are in Q4. PPC strategies, when it comes to Q4, it's like are different. Campaigns should be structured differently. And today I'm having you on the show exactly for this purpose, to discuss about how to prepare for your PPC campaigns for Q4. So I think first topic is, what is Q4? How would you describe Q4 for someone who has no idea what Q4 is?
Great question. So what Q4 is? Well, basically Q4 stands for fourth quarter, which means it's basically the last 3 months of the year, October, November, and December. And a lot of people hype Q4 because that's where Black Friday and Cyber Monday fit in, right? Mm-hmm. And when on top of that, we have the holiday shopping season right after. So it's a great time for sellers to basically sell a lot of money, right? I remember how my first Q4 was. We were in around maybe August, July, and people in the community would be like, are you ready for Q4 yet? Have you ordered your inventory? Because you're going to 3X, 4X, 5X your sales. Not every product is like that, though. You might have products that just sell around the same and remain flat the entire year. But we were in the toys niche, so we were expecting that Q4 was like that for us. But basically, that's basically what Q4 stands for.
Brilliant. And like PPC-wise, because you were also mentioning, hey, it might be 3-4X, and also it depends on the niche, I think would be a good thing to go into, first off, what type of categories of products would be affected by Q4? Because as you were mentioning toys, like obviously, yes, but some people might be, yes, I didn't have anything. Like Q4, it was like just same, like regular, like month for me. So there, mm-hmm. I think the question would be like, what to expect, basically, depending on the category that you are in.
Yeah, you know, the agency at Better AMS, we have managed brands on the vitamin space, on the supplement space, and on the year 2019, I was very curious about it, like what's like for a brand that's in the supplements niche, a Q4, because our sales gonna bump like 3x, 2x, and they didn't. However, their real Q4, the real season, the real peak season for them, it's probably the all the first quarter of the year. Mm-hmm. So that's January, February, and March, right? There are certain things to consider there, I feel, whether you can, so that you can identify if Q4 will be a huge season for you or not. And that's when we also kind of get into the psychology of things, because we are in October already and sales are not 3-4X already. Mm-hmm. probably a lot of people are down month over month, like September was great. And now October, it's sales are probably down 10-20%, and they're like, "Where's Q4? Where are my sales?" Yeah. And this is pretty normal, because it's like we are away from back to school season, but we are not even close the next season, so we're kind of in the middle, unless you're selling Halloween products. So, it's interesting. It's you have to take an interesting approach, because we were in the decor space for a while, and that did great during Q4. Mm-hmm. So that's not toys. We were not selling any seasonal Christmas things, and we did well as well. But there are certain categories like supplements, vitamins, that won't do so great, so fantastic, unless maybe you have deals set up, but that way you're kind of sacrificing your margins. So it's something to take in account as well, because you want to have enough. You also want to make your inventory last for the entire Q4 and then burn it in one or two deals. Oh, there's just a lot to talk about in this.
go on.
I just opened a huge Pandora box on inventory management during Q4.
It's all right. So go on. It's fine. So as you were saying, okay, so it depends also on the niche that you're in. Supplements usually, like, obviously beginning of the year, that would be their Q4 right here. What about products that are not considered like specific items, like seasonal items, but they are also like not... how to describe them? The in-betweeners that are not giftable, not like it's a product that you would need normally, but you wouldn't gift it, you wouldn't, it's not like, does it make sense what I'm asking? Like a normal product that you wouldn't repurchase and so on.
Yeah, it does. That there is a way to identify that on both probably your reports and on the PPC side of things. On one hand, all of these people surfing in the Amazon marketplace by when the holiday shopping season is here will be a lot more ready to make purchases. Like, they won't consider it too much. They won't give it too much thought as they are giving it now. So the best way to identify this is, and I'm telling people to do this, is, okay, right now we're in October. If you have a list of SKUs that's no bigger than maybe 10, you can do this by SKU. If it's bigger than 10, you want to probably just do averages, right, and see what that looks like. So what I'm telling them to do is take a look at your unit session percentage and your advertising conversion rate for that product. And let's say right now it's 3%, because the market is really bad, CPC is higher, ACOS is higher than usual, and it just looks bad, right? Okay, that it's stored in week two, October, week to number two. Then compare to November week two and see if that conversion rate or that unit session percentage bumped from 3% to 9%. If that happened, that probably means your product is gonna do better and better and better until it's December 21st, right? But if it has remained the same, it's probably not a good idea to move it too much, because people get excited about Q4 and there's all this hype going on and they want to invest more money on ads because they want to sell more. But a common mistake is they do it not in the best timing. So if you would do it now that your product is converting at 3% and you're still getting one order every, what is it like? Let's do round numbers here. So let's say you're getting one order every 20 clicks, that's a 5% conversion rate. If you start pouring ad dollars into that, you will convert one order every 20 clicks. Mm-hmm. But if you put up, wait a couple weeks until that 5% conversion rate bumps to a 10%, you're getting one order every 10 clicks for the same CPC. So it's on one hand, analyze your unit session percentage and advertising conversion rate, I would say, on a weekly basis starting now. See where you're at and then start comparing, like, okay, next week, oh, it's up by a little bit, so maybe it's still not the best time to start investing more ad dollars on this product. But if you see it doubles or triples from 1 week to another, that's probably when you want to go ahead and say, okay, it's probably time to invest more ad dollars into this, because I'll be able to be part of the wave.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love that was a brilliant answer. So thank you so much. Regarding the, you were saying that sometimes it might be that it's not happening. And now I'm asking, I'm playing now devil's advocate, as you can tell. I'm very serious. I'm playing devil's advocate here. You were asking about, you were saying about products that it might not convert. And sometimes it's just like, yeah, you can 10x, but sometimes not, right? So there, what would be a strategy for you to understand, hey, don't, because you were saying throwing out money of like things that won't convert. What is a good point there to see? Maybe you have some products that don't convert at this point, you know, maybe in the future, like in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it will convert. So how do you exactly know? Does it make sense if there's not really like a, I know clearly that it's converting, but just a bit maybe, and it's low. So it's like not Does it make sense? Today I feel like I'm asking my questions like very unclear. coffee.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. As with a slow movers, like products
there
that don't
you go.
sell at a
And you just
really
like slow mo that was exactly yes, slow movers, thank you. Appreciate that.
With slow movers, I would say it's a lot harder to predict how they will go. But I also want to reflect a lot on this episode on what happened to me managing my brand during my first Q4. Mm-hmm. Because during August and September, a lot of people were hyping up Q4. I didn't have an idea of what that was like. And people were saying, get prepared with enough inventory. I did. So by October, I had, let's say, 20 grand in inventory, and I was selling 5,000 a month. So that's like 4x the inventory I need for a normal month, right?
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of October. My partner was looking at me. I had a financial partner. So that was the guy putting the money. And he would look at me and go, Gabriel, it's already October 15th. I don't see sales skyrocketing. And since we are based outside the US, we have all of our inventory in the FBA warehouses, right? So it's like, does this mean now we have inventory for the next year instead of just the Q4, which we thought would be amazing? So that's when you start getting kind of scared. Mm-hmm. And you go like, oh, maybe I should start spending more money on ads. Because that way I will see sales increase. But the problem with doing it in a really slow retail sales period of the year, like October, first 2 weeks of November, is you will hoard your metrics, like we discussed on the previous question, and you won't max out every ad dollar you have. So the return on your ad dollars for this period might be a dollar. So that's 100% ACOS. Well, if you would do it from mid-November to mid-December, you could probably get $3 back for every dollar you spend. That's a 33% ACOS, which is a lot healthier. Now, with slow movers, that's a tricky one, because what I do with the slow movers is the following. I take a look at lifetime performance. Now, with the new targeting tab on the advertising console, you get to see your performers at the targeting level, whether it's a product or a keyword or an auto campaign, and you get to see there what has performed best in the past year to date, or lifetime should work, and you can pick maybe one or two from there and try to target just that specific product where you convert really well, or that specific keyword. Because somebody approached me yesterday and asked me, what's the best way to launch a product conservatively? And I was like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, what do you mean launch a product conservative? That probably does not exist. What you could do, I told him, was you can go ahead and instead of target 10 keywords at the same time where you want to rank, target 2 or target 3, and make sure that you monitor those 3 so that your ad shows up in there, and then you take a look at what your conversion rate pace looks like, and then maybe you will discard one out of those 3. And you keep 2, and you try to dominate 2 for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. So yes, slow movers, very tricky. If they got potential, I mean, if they got a healthy review rating, it's probably worth putting ad dollars on it to see if they move during the holiday shopping season.
Yeah, got it. And today you're up for tough questions, as you can see, because usually what I love about Amazon and the Amazon game is everyone is like super, wow, it's so cool, it's so nice, it's like, look, and like so many sales and so on. Yeah, but sometimes that's not all about it, you know, and this is why I also like slow movers. So this is how it's called, slow movers. Okay. So those type of products are also there, you know, and maybe you just started, as you were saying, like you just started them on Amazon with your partner and so on, and you said, hey, I already know what I'm doing, you know, and like this is happening, you know, so how to react. And it wouldn't be like, hey, that's also normal to happen sometimes, you know. So this is, I yeah. think that why I asked that, hey, if that is happening or if that is your case, what to do. So common mistakes you see people do whenever Q4 it's here, like what is their like thought process?
Ooh, well, common mistakes. I think we can already grab the first one and put it on our board. Definitely started spending more money than you should too early. Because if you have the inventory, you will feel like you need to spend a lot of money to see sales come in. And it's important you kind of give things a good push to get started, to get in the flywheel. But as you go through this holiday shopping season, you will realize that you can start saving dollar ads, you know, maybe playing with the price of your product, maybe slowing down our ads so that your organic sales take over. And you balance the percentage of sales that come from PPC versus the percentage of sales that come from organic. That's probably another few things that we need to add on our weekly analysis, how much of sales come from PPC versus how much of sales come from organic. Because you might start with, especially if this is your first Q4, you might start with 60% of sales coming from PPC, maybe 70. But as you advance, you will see that on a week-on-week basis, this will go like 50-50, then probably 60-40, where 60% of sales are coming from organic. But if you didn't took the time to analyze how that trend was going and you just are spending the same or more money, you will be way less profitable than you should. And the holiday shopping season is a season where you want to make money. Maybe you won't sell the amount of units you expected, but you need to make money. You need to make it profitable, especially. I also like to think about this season for a season where you can validate whether your product idea was good or not. Maybe you've been selling it for the entire year. It has had great months. It has had not so great months. But I think the Q4, it's a good time to validate completely whether the product was a good idea or not, because the market will be flooded with a lot of high purchase intent buyers. Mm. And if these high purchase intent buyers get it, that means your product's great. But if they don't, even though we are in the best peak season ever, it probably means it wasn't a good idea. Now, I have to make a disclaimer here. Whether discard a product or not, depending on if the product is already ranked for the top keywords and yet is not converting at the pace it should. Because if you have a new product and it's not ranked across the keywords it should, like, it's normal that it would not sell. But if the product is already ranked really well, because you invested on search, find, buys, on external traffic, on PPC, and yet it's the peak season and it's converting at below 5% on PPC and less than let's say 3% on from an organic standpoint, unit session percentage, that probably means the product isn't as good, or they might be already better products in the space. But let's get back to the question though. So common mistakes. So that's one: spending too much money too early on PPC, being too aggressive when you shouldn't because your conversion rate isn't there yet.
What means too early? Do you mind saying like what means too early? Because for example, we were talking about October when it's too early.
Yeah, I feel too early. It's when your conversion rate on a week-on-week basis hasn't changed a lot. So that's why I was comparing.
You know. Well, today I really played that with
do you know what I would do? I'll take a look at what the conversion rate has been for my product over the past let's say year to date. Mm-hmm. So I will see what the trend looks like, right? Probably right now, at least from what I've seen in the accounts I manage, I've seen that our product's conversion rate, it's like on the lowest point it's been the entire year. Don't ask me why, but this is just what October is like. Like you gotta have a lot of patience. You gotta make sure you don't waste too much money, because sales are just around the corner, but they make it look really hard, especially in the last few weeks. So I am not investing aggressively on ads right now. I'm working on making the ads as profitable as they can be, because I know that by probably the second week of November, conversion rate will spike. So too early for me would mean that I started investing money on ads aggressively without validating that I'm already converting well.
Got it.
Because I don't want to, otherwise I would be hurting the product because I'm just getting a lot more clicks, but without poor conversion.
Yeah, definitely. All right, second thing, because you were saying this is the first thing. Is there a second thing?
So the second thing, I would probably step away from PPC a little bit here and say that the second common mistake is probably poor inventory management. And this usually happens because you had a crazy Black Friday or Cyber Monday deal, which is great, but if that deal costs you money, because that's kind of the kickoff of the holiday shopping season, and you don't have enough inventory for the rest of the quarter, consider first tweaking your price. Since we were in the niche toys a couple of years ago, like 3-4 years ago, I remember that we had, let's say, 10,000 units, right? And we were ready and we were happy, and we had a Black Friday deal. And on that Black Friday deal, I think we sold like 3,000. So we were like, uh-oh, at this pace, we're out of stock by December 7th, let's say.
That's also, everyone is saying like, oh, you're so, that's also bad problem to have. That's what happened to us, you know? So like selling it too fast. Yeah. Like, what's going on? Yeah, definitely.
It is a really bad problem to have because first you run out of stock, and that's the worst thing that can happen to you in the Amazon space. You run out of stock, you're dead until you get the stock back. And if the lead time is really long, like you're wrecked, right? So by the time Cyber Monday was here, we were like, no, cancel deals. And we're going to start try to spread our the units we have left across the entire Q4. Mm-hmm. So, and this is kind of crazy because we had a product that was priced at probably $18.99, and I'm not saying the deal was a bad move because it can really like set you up for the rest of the holiday shopping season based off, you know, that traction you get and that sales velocity you get and that BSR boost, CTR boost, unit session percentage boost. Like I'm not crucifying deals here, but it's just important you know what to expect, right? So I think we closed we finished the season with a product that was $18.99, selling for around maybe $38.99, something like that. And we were able to have like 700 units or maybe 500 units remaining for the rest of December. So that's like December 21st through December 31st. And then we have more shipping coming our way because, and if you're in the niche I was, you have to consider that you also have Valentine's Day just around the corner, which for us was also very huge. And we were like, uh-oh, now we're out of our Valentine's Day inventory as well. That inventory management can be, and that's why you should be tracking, you know, the balance of percentage of sales coming from PPC versus percentage of sales coming from organic. Because if you're doing already pretty well, why would you spend the same ad dollars amount you were spending 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? You could be spending half, making your products more profitable, maximizing the profitability. But the only way to do that is just keeping an eye on what's really going on.
Now there I have a follow-up because this, you just made a very, very interesting point. You were saying that rather maximizing profit versus sales here, like selling things. The question there is like, wouldn't the other sellers would be like in the same shoes as you are, like very like, oh, what's going to happen? And now I'm going to invest a lot in PPC and they might be taking the keywords that you're actually ranking for organically. So does it make sense? So basically, because what's happening, sometimes I also felt very cocky. Okay, I'm dominating this keyword, you know? And afterwards, you know, I felt very like, oh, that's it. You know, I don't have to do anything else. And someone else came and just took away my keyword, the keyword that brought me the most sales, you know? So here I'm thinking also in this stage, what's the best process to do? Because yes, I agree with you. I would also maximize profit here and I will also lower my ACOS, but in the same time thinking that everyone else is not going to do that, you know, how to still be able to keep those keywords that you are organically ranking for and are bringing in sales versus the ones who are just like really being high.
Great question. I feel that I was approaching these from a new seller perspective. Mm-hmm. given the fact that this will be like the first Q4 ever and you have no idea whole thing. let's take off the hat of a new seller and let's put on the hat of somebody that has been managing the brand for a couple of years now, and the stock is not a problem, like they said, right? When somebody approaches me and says, you can spend whatever you want, just that problem is the brand is huge enough to go ahead and fight for good real estate across the Amazon platform. So this is a very interesting approach, because on that position, I would not give on any placements on keywords where the product is extremely relevant to that keyword and the search volume is there. What I could do to maximize profitability on a set of keywords that are very relevant and at the same time I want to keep showing up for is I would make adjustments based off CPC levels. So let's say I've been paying $1.25 for a certain top keyword that's converting really well, but since the marketplace gets flooded with a lot of people with high purchase intent, I will start converting at a higher pace, right? And that usually transitions into a cheaper CPC. So instead of having a $1.25 CPC and let's say a bid of $1.50, I could see that CPC going from $1.25 to let's say 90 cents. Mm-hmm. So there are two moves there. You can go ahead if you want to be like, if you want to like slow down ad spend really bad, you can go ahead and do something like 10 cents less than your CPC. What I like to do is just match the CPC. Okay, Amazon says I should pay this amount of dollars per keyword. That should be my cost per click. I'm going to match it on the bid standpoint. Then analyze it 3 days later. Oh, Amazon now gave me a CPC at 80 cents, 75 cents, and I'm still showing up for the keyword I want to. So I would go ahead and match that again to slightly, in the course of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maximize my profitability. At the same time, I'm still matching Amazon CPC across my main keywords. Mm-hmm. Now, there will be certain keywords that are just impossible to go ahead and try to do that, just because there might be a competitor that's so big that you probably want to avoid fighting. If that keyword CPC is already $3 and you have a $20 product, it's probably not worth fighting for. But there might be other long tail keywords where you can take a CPC you were paying $1.54 and $1.25 and end up the quarter with 65 cents. And the best thing about this is that when the Q4 is over, you can keep the 65 cents bid, the 75 cents bid, and you will still show up because you build all of this relevancy without running out of stock. So you don't have to go back to $1.25 again, unless like a new competitor jumps out of nowhere, paying like $2 a click. But that's the way we could approach this, putting with the hat of the brand owner.
I love it. I so much wish that I would be like $2 a click. It's like that's heaven for me. Like exactly as you were saying, in my scenario, I am very competitive niche, and apparently, that also like came to kick me in the butt. So for me, like $2 is heaven. So yeah, definitely I agree. And I love that you said, hey, just still pay attention to, okay, if you're converting for this amount and it was relevant for the algorithm, your product, yes, you're still going to convert that amount maybe in January and February. So I love that you pointed that out. Most people, I feel that they don't understand that. And this is why they are going to pay way more than they should. And then afterwards, what's happening, they're bringing up the bids. Like each competitor is going to bring up the bids because they want to show up anyway else. Does it make sense? So I love that you...
No, it does.
Yeah, I love that you said that, you mentioned that it's super important.
Even for our product launches, like what we do is we make sure that we don't look at the bid too much at the beginning, because what I want to see if is the ad pop-up in the marketplace. That's what I want to see. So we might be very aggressive as an agency when we get started because we might get to a $20 bid. That doesn't mean we're going to pay $20 a click, right? Okay. But we're just telling Amazon, hey, we're here. We want to show up for this keyword. And then Amazon will go like, oh, look, Gabriel wants to show up for this keyword and he's bidding $20. Gabriel might be kind of crazy. So we're going to give it to him for $2, right? So we would get that click and that click. Oh, we didn't convert. We didn't convert in the next one. And then we did. Okay. And then we saw that our CPC is 120, but I already kind of, I feel converting on keywords we haven't in the past is kind of, it's kind of popcorn in a microwave, right? Mm-hmm. We are putting heat on it by increasing our bids. And once it pops, we're done. We can adjust the CPC again, but we have already built that relevancy for the first time. And we are more likely to show up once we have already converted once. Sometimes people are scared to do it. Sometimes they go too aggressive for too long when it's not necessary. They could have optimized the bid a lot earlier to don't waste too much ad dollars.
Definitely. Just following up, did you finish the common mistakes you see people making with Q4? Because we were talking about two things, then I like asked something else, and we just ran to a totally different subject.
The last one is probably just targeting too many products and too many keywords than you should. And I feel that, I don't know if Amazon
does it. I mean yet again, what means too many?
So okay. So
you and I understand, but Joe Schmo, who's just starting out, is like,
no yes. Thank you for that. So I like this example. When you go into the Amazon Ads console and then you create a sponsored product targeting campaign, when you're filling in the blanks on that and you want to add the products to target, mm-hmm. the suggested ASIN amount for a product targeting campaign is 200 ASINs. Yep. That's what Amazon recommends. I don't know if they do it because the ads are just a great sort of profit and revenue of the company, or I have no idea why they do it, and it's just unfair, because I know, you know, that if we target 200 ASINs at the same time, where we have no idea how good or bad we will convert, we can waste thousands of dollars in a couple days. So sorry, I just napped there. So I was.
I love you. So you're also he's also playing devil's advocate now. Go on, Gabriel. Go on. Yes, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Demand your business.
Yeah.
So what I would do is just keep the keywords that I want to dominate to be a selected group where you can totally convert and you have more chances of winning than other keywords that might be important. Why? Because you have to make, you know, every ad dollar work. But if you put it at 200 ASINs at the same time and you get one click on each at $1, and then you spend $200 in that campaign with no sales, first, you weren't able to collect any data because a click on each ASIN doesn't mean anything. And you just wasted $200 out of nowhere. So you have to kind of be really selective. I like to think that when we are selecting what products or keywords we are targeting, we're doing a lot of handpicking, and that handpicking can be done by a machine. Helium 10 can give you an idea. Softwares can give you ideas, but at the end, it's up to you what you're going to handpick and go after. And if you go after something, just try to max it out, dominate it, see what the CTRs look like, see what the conversion rates look like, and based on that, decide whether you want to keep running ads on it or maybe slow down. Maybe you don't need to pause it, but maybe slow down if the performance is not what you expected.
So there, if yet again playing devil's advocate, let's say you chose three products, what would be a normal expectancy rate to see they are performing well for you and how to wait for it? Because, for example, last time when you were on the show, it was a very, very brilliant episode. Yet again, please listen to it, dear listeners, because he just like threw lots of golden nuggets there. One of the things that we were mentioning about was brand registry, how to use our brand analytics to launch campaigns, right? And there, let's put it this way, because we were talking about how to go for one product or two products rather than 100 products, right? Mm. Or 200 products that Amazon suggests. Here in this scenario, if you are strategic, you're going to go for one keyword, you're going to pick the top three products for that keyword. And this is what you are like alluring to not use a lot of products, but just a few of them.
If you're going for profitability, yes, 100%. Some of the things I'm doing lately on brands that are trying to maximizing for profitability on this period is okay, I have a list of 20 keywords. That's where my 80-20 is. Mm-hmm. For you, it might be 15. For you, it might be 10. As long as they are relevant and they got this the enough search volume to have a good sales velocity. That's the keywords I'm focusing on. And I go all in on all different ad types, right? Sponsor products, sponsor brands video. I make sure that we show up on all 20 of them. But I'm diving into something very interesting lately because I wanted to see, okay, what happens if I pick this keyword and I run product targeting, both sponsored display and sponsored products targeting campaigns based off the top results for a certain keyword. So let's say I went for French press. Let's do a long tail for French press. Wooden French press, let's say. So that's my keyword, right? So I would go ahead, put that keyword on the Amazon search bar, see what are the top organic results for wooden French press, handpick the best ranking products, and then run a product targeting campaign where I make part of the nomenclature the keyword I'm going after. Then I would pick another long tail keyword that has also search volume, like stainless steel French press, handpick the top performing ASINs there and run product, because then I'm able to see, oh wow, I converted better on wood French presses than I did on stainless steel French presses. Yeah. And then over time I can go ahead and maximize that. At some point, like as you advance on this strategy, and if you've been following Better AMS for a while, you know that at some point, yeah, you might be going after 20 keywords, but you are converting on 700 different search terms. Mm. So on layer two, on phase two, yeah, you want to go ahead and run ads across all of those search terms you have converted for, but you probably want to keep them at a lower starting bid than you did with these base of keywords where you know most of your sales are likely to come from. So that over time, you lower your ACoS, you lower your CPC because you're also targeting all of these keywords. But even with those 700 different keywords, I would still go for handpicking, because sometimes you convert for such irrelevant things that you would go like, if I wouldn't have converted for these, I would have put it as a negative keyword, but I did convert it. So it's kind of irrelevant, but not relevant. And people make the mistake with automations that they go ahead and add search terms, add converting search terms, add converting search terms, add converting search terms. Then they start kind of deranking because they have added so much unrelevant search terms where, yes, they have converted because somebody was just, I don't know, just not looking for that, and they end up purchasing it. And then they complain, oh, my product is not ranked where it should be. Amazon is not what it used to be. But when you go ahead and take a look at their advertising, they are running ads on 300,000 irrelevant search terms. So yeah, it's very interesting how you can make it worse when expanding the strategy if you don't take the right steps that seem to be minimal. Mm-hmm. But it's like compound interest, you know. If you handpick the keywords you want to go after every day, you're going ahead and start putting one brick after another without making a mess. While if you try to expand too fast, not analyzing the keywords you want to go after, you will end up with putting a brick a degree left instead of how it should be, and you end up with not with a column, but with something that's not sustainable over time.
Yeah, I love it. I think this was the most unofficial Q4, like how to prepare for Q4, unofficially at the gun. I think that I love this episode simply because it's not your usual what to do, what strategy and so on, but like be realistic. Okay, what are you going for, you know? Understand, first off, understand the keywords that you're going to or want to rank for, you know, because those are the same keywords that you're going to rank for in Q4 as well, you know? I mean, now as well. So I love that you had that input there. A question actually that is not in my question list, because we were talking about this, like ranking for different keywords, but they might not be relevant. Would you still use auto campaigns for Q4? How do you deal with auto campaigns? Would you still launch them? Would you like, what do you see about that strategy? Because some people are still saying that it doesn't matter, like if it's Q4, still launch them, you know?
Auto campaigns have become a very interesting topic. It was a very hot topic when I just got started, but I would not use auto campaigns too aggressively nowadays. Because especially if you already know the keywords where you convert well, I would not go ahead and give Amazon the keys of my car to go ahead and seek for other keywords when I already know what keywords I'm already converting really well for. I'm not against it. Like, I would go ahead and launch auto campaigns. A common practice is to go ahead and try to differentiate the auto campaigns by targeting type. So I would go ahead and just run a close match, turning up the other three targeting types, see how that goes, see how that goes on loose match, see how that goes on substitutes. And we have found some surprises doing it that way, because we have seen that, oh, this product could actually cross-sell really, really well, and we didn't know nothing about that. While we have also made assumptions like, oh, close match didn't really work because the auto campaigns at this really low bid doesn't seem to drive any impressions, right? So I'm not against it. I would just be very conservative, and I would not prioritize it as I would the top keywords list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep in mind that this is like for the Q4 strategy. So here you would stay like go for exact match for all the keywords that you're targeting, correct? So no broad, no auto.
I do like broad and phrase. If you really want to be more intentional where you want to show up, definitely exact and phrase. If you want to expand a little more, I think it's pretty common to go after broad, maybe with a lower bid. Mm-hmm. And usually the way it's structured is most sales will come from broad. This is very interesting. If I would open an account right now, most sales are coming from the broad match type. But the ACOS is also higher. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you have more chances to convert on any keyword combination that you're going after, which is great. But that's also bad because you might have more chances to have more ad waste, right? Yeah. So broad, I think, drives probably more, not probably, it does drive more sales than phrase or exact. And then it goes like on second place probably comes phrase with a medium amount of sales and a lower ACOS, and then exact with the least amount of sales but the best ACOS, because you were just more straightforward to what you wanted to convert for. Mm-hmm. That's also important that you know that what to expect in terms of, okay, I'm gonna run ads on these. And broad ACOS is higher than exact. I'm gonna pause it. Not really. That's supposed to happen based on, you know, how you're trying to reach a broader audience through broad match type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. This is like all super like yes. And somehow I feel like I'm so happy inside. It's like outside it's not coming out. Darn your coffee. No more. Yeah, this is super helpful. And as I was saying, yeah, I love that we touched on this topic a bit differently. As I was saying, most of the time, and I really suffer inside when I see it, it's like, yeah, it's so good. And it's like Q4 and so on. And you will have so many sales and people are really getting disappointed because that's not happening for them, you know? And I think it's super important to understand, hey, is it actually something that you can do now to really like have that outcome that everyone is talking about, you know? Or is it something that, hey, understand, it's maybe your product, as you were mentioning, maybe your reviews are not there. You don't have enough reviews and the top competing like products are there that have way more reviews. And even if you convert it, you know, beforehand, you won't anymore now because everyone is buying those products, you know? So this is why I love that we touched on so like differently. Is there something else that I should have asked that I haven't regarding Q4 and campaigns?
No, I guess, yeah, you were right. We were more real than what the noise out tells you. Mm-hmm. Because it's a common mistake to see somebody having success and then trying to replicate it on your own account without not even understanding or feeling that that might work for you. And this also happened to me when I was getting started. I would see somebody post something on like Helium 10, I don't know, high rollers, the VA strategies. And I would see that they're killing it. And then I would ask like something like, how many keywords are you targeting? And they would say like 1,000 keywords. Oh, okay. I have to target 1,000 keywords to succeed on Amazon, and by the next day, I would have blew up $300 out of nowhere because I thought that was ideal.
Yeah.
While it's kind of quite the opposite, especially, well, it does depend on your niche. Like at some point, you'll be converting on 1,000 plus different keywords. That doesn't mean you have to bid on all of them, but you might handpick, you might be able to handpick maybe 300, maybe 400, and go after them with a way lower bid. We would see what that's like. Maybe what we didn't touch on was what is the post holiday shopping season look like, and what to expect on those days where it's Christmas Eve, Christmas, and then the week between Christmas and New Year's, like that. Those 2 weeks aren't fun for us advertisers because there is a lot of things going on. On one hand, you will see ACOS skyrocket, like consequently, because conversion rate isn't there anymore. You might be converting at a really low pace again. And there might be, I don't know, this is probably me, but there might be a lot of people window shopping, mm-hmm. but it is so last minute that they would not get it delivered on time. So they're just like clicking on ads, trying to do last minute shopping, but they're not necessarily going to purchase things. So it's a period where you want to be really careful because you don't want to start spending money like crazy and have that week to eat on all of your profits. But at the same time, you don't want to lose that relevance in the space, right? I would definitely adjust bids for that period, being more aggressive than what you were during the holiday shopping season, mid October, mid December, and just try to keep an eye on it. I would not recommend like pausing ads completely because that is also when a lot of people. And this is a completely new rabbit hole, but this is when a lot of people start ranking products to start the next year fresh, because volume goes down so much and sellers go out of stock. Well, not a lot, but many sellers go out of stock, that the CPR, like the amount of units you have to give away, search, find, buy for, or run coupons, Google links for in order to rank. It's so cheap that you can go ahead and put your product in the first page for certain keywords. So that's why I would not turn off PPC, because you could keep it, of course, being conservative on your bid adjustments to lower CPC. And on top of that, start ranking your products in that time frame that's really small. People say that you should also do it like prior to events like Prime Day, where conversion rates just go down the cliff, and you can win top positions for pennies on the dollar, because that's really what you get. While trying to rank a product on like December 2nd, it's basically impossible, right? So that's kind of the things that would go right after this holiday shopping season.
Brilliant, awesome nuggets there. To be super respectful of your time, since you were already on the show, you kind of like answered all these, but one question I didn't ask you, I think, it's like, if you would choose a superpower, which one would it be?
Oh, I think you did ask me this one last time. You did. What did I answer?
It doesn't remember the same answer though.
I wish. Okay, so if somebody's listening to this and you are, and you work for a I don't know, for like a company like Yardline or Sellers Funding, guys, listen, I wish I had the power, but a lot of international sellers, we also need founding, right? A lot of your sellers get help from Yardline and Sellers Funding, and there might be other that I don't remember of. But if I would have a superpower, I would probably create a company to finance Amazon businesses that are based outside the U.S. Because you know, U.S. citizens are getting this boost with capital that they can get from these companies, while other sellers that might be based in, I don't know, maybe Mexico, Europe, getting access to this funding just because they're not based in the States. and they're making bank. I mean, it's not like they're not making money.
You know, so, what? I wasn't even aware of that. So they are only like US based. They are like financing only US based companies. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Ooh. That's good and bad. I mean, good for us.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, definitely. I agree with you.
If you compare, really, the international sellers, it's really a really small portion of the pie when it comes to people selling on Amazon. I think it's like 44% of sellers are American based, US based. The other like 44%, it's like Chinese based, mm-hmm. and all of the tiny 9-point-something percent. We're kind of in the middle, right? We don't get access to cheap sourcing, and we don't get access to cheap financing either. And we're there. We're fighting. We're making our way up. We're selling businesses, but definitely right now, if I would have a superpower, it would be to kind of find a balance between those two somehow.
Amen to that.
All right.
One favorite book, and why do you love it? And the last one would be, how can people get a hold of you?
Okay, so favorite book ever in life, Shoe Dog. This book is about Phil Knight, the founder and creator of Nike. Mm-hmm. It's just very similar to what would you leave as a person that sells physical products online, because he encountered a lot of issues with inventory, a lot of issues with suppliers, a lot of issues with taxes. So it's a good read, you could finish it in a couple of days. And how you guys can find me, I am pretty huge on LinkedIn, I feel. So if you want to see what I do, my crazy ideas, more strategies than the ones we discussed today, definitely add me there. And I'm also on the rest of social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, but mostly LinkedIn. Like if you want to see good Amazon stuff, LinkedIn.
All right, I'm going to follow you from now on LinkedIn as well. I'm not so active on LinkedIn, but I will personally follow you.
Great.
Thank you so much for your time. And this was really precious. I love that we were, as you were saying, we were real with this episode. And this is how I try to keep all the episodes from now on, especially with topics that are very like hyping you up, you know, just to see, to analyze, because most of the time, exactly as you are saying, like what to do and just go for 1,000 keywords and this is what you're doing and just like getting burned, you know, because you don't know better, you know. So this is why I'm trying to make it real. Thank you once again for your time, and for everyone listening, thank you so much for watching, and see you next Wednesday. Take care. Bye-bye.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.